Let me again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together, so appreciate your desire to be with us today. There's an outline in the bulletin this morning for those that would like to follow along. I know we have lots of company this morning looking around, so please, if you, my brethren, if you see someone without a bulletin, please share. Did you? You don't have to follow along, but just in case, you know. So we're going to take our lesson from the scripture reading that was given to us this morning from Jeremiah chapter 6. The Old Testament was learning, the New Testament says. Paul said in Romans 15, verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And he also said again in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, these things, meaning these Old Testament stories, happened to them for examples for us. They were written for our admonition. So there's something about the Old Testament stories that we can learn from. We don't want to repeat the mistakes that they gave or had. You know, in life, I didn't put the note, but I like to receive warnings. They keep me out of trouble when I heed the warnings. I don't seem like sometimes I don't always heed them. But you know, when you approach a train or trolley tracks and the lights flash, the bells ring, the arm comes down. Oh, Brian, you need to slow down and stop. You know, don't cross those railroad tracks. You know, when I approach an intersection and the traffic light turns yellow, you know, that's telling me I need to hurry up and get through before the light turns red. You know, it gives me a warning. I know even when backing up, a lot of commercial vehicles nowadays, you know, they just hear that ding, 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 you know, telling you, to watch out. It wasn't very long ago, we bought a mattress in Box Springs. It came with a warning. A penalty for removing this tag. I don't know what the penalty is, but I did rip that thing off. If you won't tell, don't report me. I need to be a mattress police out there somewhere. Going to come get me. But I just got in the way. But in this lesson, Jeremiah is sent by God to warn the people that it's dangerous to continue in the direction they're going. Uh-oh. You know, earlier in the message, Jeremiah said, and I just put a couple phrases in your notes, but in chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, to Jeremiah, to cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord. Oh, what is Jeremiah talking to? With God giving a message to God's people. In verse 9, Jeremiah was to say from God, I will bring charges against you. Uh-oh. What are they doing? They're doing something wrong. Warning, you know, ding, 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 ding. Look out. In verse 32 of chapter 2, it says, my people have forgotten me days without number. Oh, that's not good. You know, when you forget God and then add to it days without number, you don't get an attaboy. You don't get well done. Or a certificate that says, I'm proud of you. That doesn't happen. In Jeremiah 5, verse 31, it says, my people love to have it so. Oh, my. Now, chew on that for a moment. Jeremiah's coming to give warning that you're doing something wrong. The people don't care. I just love the situation I'm in. And he's giving a warning that you shouldn't do what you're doing and you shouldn't love what you're doing. So Jeremiah gives, in a text that was read to us, six warnings. Six of them. Could be talking to people today. This was 2,500 years ago. Well, it's kind of a modern day lesson. You know, there were conditions that were prevalent then that are with us now. The spiritual attitude of those people that led to their downfall are still with us today. These are God's people. And Jeremiah doesn't applaud them. Oh. They're shouting, God, we're on your side. Oh, so let's take a look at it. Number one, verse 10. All these are from Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 10. Jeremiah says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised. In other words, they've got their hands over their ears. I don't want to hear it. That they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Wow. I would like to be Jeremiah, the preacher, for that congregation. And he's going to stand up and preach and give warning, and they've got their hands over their ears. Jeremiah, we don't want to hear it. Don't cover your ears. Please don't do that. But that's what the people were doing. The very God they sought to worship is the God they wouldn't hear. They're not going to listen. Oh my. Isaiah, the prophet, along with Jeremiah, the same people, in Isaiah 30, verse 9, Isaiah said, you're a rebellious people. And then he gives the reason. You will not hear the law of the Lord. Don't want to know what God says. Jeremiah's giving a warning. If he were today, ding, ding, ding. Bells and lights, the arm comes down. Watch out. You're not in a safe condition. Heed the warning. Jesus experienced the same thing during Jesus' ministry. You think, that people listen to Jesus. I want to go, hands go up. I want to hear what Jesus has to say. So Jesus starts preaching in Matthew 13, verse 15. Even Jesus himself says, the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they've closed. To what Jesus has to say? Yeah, you get people like that. Don't want to hear it. Paul said in Romans 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Don't want to hear it. Oh my, sound the warning. And that's what Jeremiah does, that's what Isaiah does, that's what Jesus does, and that's what the Apostle Paul does. There's a time in your life and mine when we need to shout out, look out! And we hope people hear us. Number two, verse 13. From the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. You see, there was some in that congregation, even the religious leaders, the priests and the prophets, they had this obsessive desire for gain that led them to immoral means to obtain it. Then they would justify in their own minds that this ill-gotten gain is okay. It's okay to do that. So the apostle in the New Testament gives us warning too. Here's how Paul described it. I'll read the whole verse. I put that one in your notes. Yeah, 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading at verse 6. I didn't write the whole verse in your notes. Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, yeah. Godliness and contentment. That's good. That's where you get the attaboy. you get well done. Godliness with contentment. For the reason why, we brought nothing into this world. We can't carry anything out. That's right in the verse. Sometimes I like to stop here and just say to everybody, and Jim reminds me of this phrase too, but I've said it for so many years. You know that everything that you own will one day be owned by somebody else. Did you know that? Right there. You brought nothing in. You take nothing out. When you die, everything that you and I have stays here. And it will be owned by somebody else. And I can't guarantee how they'll take care of it. So godliness with contentment, that's great gain. And then he says, and having food and clothing, with these will be content. Ah, then the warning. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts. It drowns men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. Oh, there's the warning. Oh, you strayed from the faith because of your greediness. The greediness and that lust for wealth took you away from God and godliness with contentment. There's the warning. They pierced themselves through with many sorrows, and Jesus says it himself too in Luke 12, verse 15. Take heed, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Everything that you and I gain in this life has been given to us by God, either by God giving us our talents or our opportunities. We need to be good stewards of what we have, because everything we have is God-given. We didn't come into this world with anything. We were a naked babe in arms. And when you die and I die, we leave it, everything that we gained, we leave it here. Beware of covetousness. Number two. Number three. Just giving you the warning. It's just the warning. Verse 14. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly. How'd they do that? Oh, well, they said peace. Oh, peace. When there is no peace. Oh. See, when people are going down the wrong path, it's easy for them to believe that all is well. Oh, sound the warning. When you think, oh, no, I'm doing fine. Don't need anybody else. And besides, I have a preacher that's already told me everything's just great. I have friends and neighbors that told me you're doing just good, just the way you are, in your relationship with God, in your relationship with family. Oh, they're healing our hurt slightly. That's not good. Just slightly. Because we're hearing what we want to hear. God told Jeremiah, you stand up and you give the warning. You don't tell them what they want to hear. You tell them what God says. Sound the warning. Boy, false teachers were healing slightly. So the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, verse 2, rather, preach the word of God. Be ready in season, out of season. Paul says that convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Here's the warning. It's right in the text, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Ooh. The time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, right teaching. But according to their own desires, it's what I want. See, that's what Jeremiah's warning. You want to hear what you want to hear. And if you like what you're hearing, good job, preacher. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. But you're only being healed slightly. There's no peace. So Paul continues, according to their own desires, and because they have itching ears, they'll heap for themselves teachers and that will turn away their ears from the truth, and they'll be turned aside to fables. You will be so easily turned aside to believe what you want to hear because it sounds so good, and I just feel good when I hear that. Sound the warning. Ding, 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 ding. Bells and whistles, the arm comes down. Stop and think for a moment. So you're going to find somebody that will tell you peace. But when there's no peace, there'll be teachers out there to say that to you. Number four. Check the time. Oh, man. Verse 15. I'm looking at the clock. I'll, I'll, you, you, Give me warning. You'll raise your hand as the time goes on. So verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. Really? You're committing abomination. You're not ashamed? No. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. They weren't even going to hide the wretched. They weren't even embarrassed by it. And that's the way our society is seeming like it's getting. That's, especially you take a look at the entertainment industry. You know, the TV talk shows flaunt wretchedness. They try to make the wretchedness of society come across as acceptable. Oh. Our segment of society just had a 3-day party at the park. They had a parade, news coverage, made it seem like everybody was in favor of it. There's no discretion on the part of a lot of people today in society, you know, in the presence of others. It's not discreet. It's just open. It's not new, but, you know, maybe I should have had somebody check at the door. But, you know, when the young men sag their pants, well, show us their underwear. I don't know why. If I want to see men's underwear, I go to the men's department at Kmart. But they sag those pants, you know, and then every once in a while I'll see someone, you know, walking like that. But to keep your pants up, they have to walk with their legs apart. You ever notice that? Sagging their pants. Yeah. And if they're crossing the street and the cars come, boy, I've seen some guy, boy, they grab their thing and hitch it up and they're going like this, walking like that. Like they're riding a horse. If they want to see their face underwear, why don't they wear it on the outside of their pants and make it outwear instead of underwear? You know, at least you change it. But there's no discretion. They're not embarrassed. Not ashamed. Number 5, verse 16. I'm quitting about 3 minutes here. Verse 16. Thus says the Lord. I hear God talking. Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the ways are good, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. They said, we will not walk in it. Oh my. You probably think, oh, there goes, when I'm giving a lesson, oh, there goes Brian again. Telling us, you know, what the Word of God says. Oh, there you go. There he goes again. Not going to do what he says. That's what these people told Jeremiah. Can you imagine preaching to a congregation that says, I hear you, but I'm not going to do it? The leaders, that's what these people are probably saying to Jeremiah. Hey, this is the year 650 B.C., these old paths were given that you're talking about, Jeremiah, were given 2,500 years ago. Yeah, Jeremiah, you need to bring God's word up to date. Jeremiah, you need to change things. And that's what people today are saying too. They're saying, Brian, this is the new generation. And people can't be converted with an old truth. Can't convert people with a Bible message. This is the 21st century. You know, God's outdated. The Bible message needs to catch up with the times. Oh, really? They're saying, Brian, we need a new gospel for a new age for the Pepsi generation. Well, that's what Jeremiah's congregation is saying. Jesus said in John 12, verse 48, he that rejects me and receives not my words as one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. You're not going to be judged by a new edition of the Bible. You're not going to be judged by a 21st century update. You and I are going to be judged by what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. No matter how modern we become in society. And then the last one. Got 1 minute. Verse 17. For our visitors, I always quit at 25 after, whether I'm finished or not. I just leave out things and just, you have the notes, so read it. Look up the verses. No, I got 30 seconds. Verse 17, number 6. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Verse 19, I didn't put that one in your notes. Verse 19, he says, hear, O earth, behold, I'll certainly bring calamity on this people and the fruit of their thoughts, because they've not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. Now, here we are sitting today. We could probably look back to these people in Jeremiah's day 2,500 years ago and say, oh, those people, what are they thinking? How could they say that to Jeremiah? But yet here we sit today, and there'll be many who will say the very same thing. God, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to find me someone who will teach things the way that I want to hear. I still have another page. That's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. It's an invitation for you to become a Christian if you have not done so already. Remember the New Testament church. There's a simple plan or a simple formula for sometimes you need to take four steps. Number one, you need to hear the Word of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, believe in someone you haven't heard of. You have to hear. And then that second one is believe. Believe the message that God so loved the world He sent a Son. Believe that. Jesus Himself said it in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. So I need to hear what God's message, and then number two, I need to believe it. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God, well, that's what I want. I want to come to God. Must believe that He is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. Number three, you'll need to repent. Turn your life around. Turn it toward God. Jesus Himself said it in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. I need to repent. Add that to the list, the formula, the steps. Number four, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached to him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian stops Philip in his sermon about Jesus. He says, here's water. Anything hindering me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip said, stop the chariot. Number five. And they both went down into the water. The Bible specifically says, both Philip and the Ethiopian, and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water. The Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. The lady finds her coins in Luke chapter 15. She calls people together to rejoice. The lost sheep is found rejoicing. The prodigal son comes home. It's a case of rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. So we extend this invitation every time we assemble together at the close of a lesson. There may be one here that wants to follow that simple plan. When those first four things are in place, then you can be baptized. You can. We can do that. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, we extend this invitation. So let's stand together. Sing the song that Dennis has selected.